Hi ladies, you're listening to the Goodness Podcast. My name is Noor Tahini. I'm the co-founder of Goodness and I'll be your host today. Goodness was launched in 2018 as a platform dedicated to tackling topics surrounding women's health in a real and honest way. And we're continuing on that mission with the launch of this podcast series, which will feature real women and real stories from the Middle East. My guest on the podcast today is Reem Kanj, whom you might remember from a previous episode with her sister Natalia. A few weeks ago, Reem embarked on a journey to freeze her eggs, and I'm so happy that she's agreed to come back so soon to share the whole experience with me and our listeners, from her thought process to her body's reaction and her feelings through it all. And side note, we wanted to keep bringing you valuable content throughout this time, so this episode of the podcast was recorded over Zoom from the floor of my closet, so please bear with the sound quality. Hi, Reem.
Hi, Noor.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you back on the podcast.
I know. It's so nice to see you. We should have recorded it last time. I mean, without cameras on.
We did it without the cameras on last time. But now I figured out how everything works. And it makes it so much easier to look at the person when you're talking to them.
I know. It feels like we're catching up.
Have you been?
I've been.
Since last time we spoke?
I've been really good. It's funny because Natalia and I have been phasing lockdown. So I'm like, phase one was this time when we were just like baking and doing puzzles, and phase two was like, what the hell is happening, like how am I gonna train and figuring out a completely new life, and then phase three was like slowly getting into it, and now I feel like it's slightly easing back into a new normal. So
Reem, you're 33 years old.
I am
33 years old, and you're single.
I am.
And you've made the really big decision of freezing your eggs this sort of lockdown season.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about how you first came to the decision of doing it? Did you know anyone who had done it before? Had you been reading about it for a while? How was it sort of brought to your attention?
So obviously, you know, because we've spoken about this, that I was married before. And mm-hmm. I got a divorce not even a year later. So I was 30 when I got married and got divorced. And everyone, you know, everyone would ask me like, oh, do you have children? That makes it so much harder. And I would always see that as like almost like a blessing that I didn't have kids with him, because obviously we're not together anymore. So, but I also realized that it was a big reason as to why you get married. Is because you also want to have children and build a family with someone. So it was kind of in the back of my head that, wow, there's going through a divorce made it even harder for me to settle down with someone because my standards are so much higher. And there is no way, like marriage is one thing. I'm happy to get married. And if it doesn't work out, you get a divorce. But having children with someone, that's like a whole other commitment. So it pushed me to view a relationship in a completely different way. And I realized that I will never be able to rush this decision of getting kids with someone, like having children with someone. So I have been single for the past 3 years. And one of my really good friends is around 5 years older than me. And we were out once and she told me, you know, I froze my eggs at the beginning of the year or something like that. And I was like, really? And for some reason, it just never occurred to me that that was like a thing. I'd heard about it, but I think it also has this tint of that's desperate, or that's like a, you know, what a shame that she has to like freeze her eggs. Like, you know, she has no hope of having children. It just had this weird, like...
It does.
Right?
I agree. It does have that. I've heard people say to women who've frozen their eggs when they were single, like, so what? Next time you date a guy, you're going to tell him, by the way, I froze my eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
But it shouldn't be that way.
No, no. And she's like a beautiful woman, like 37 years old, amazing career, has a boyfriend. And all of these things, I was like, wow, like this is basically her saying that I'm not going to rush into anything, whether I'm single or I'm not single. Like I'm taking my time to figure it out. So she told me a little bit about it. And then she actually invited me to a lecture that she was having with the clinic that she did the egg freezing with I went last April with my sister and I asked a bunch of questions. It completely became normal to me after hearing all these stories. And I put it in the back of my head that I was going to be considering this. And prior to this, I had done an AMH and had my egg reserves checked by my doctor. And she told me, you know, it's average. Like, it was average. Like, she didn't say it was great. She didn't say, don't worry about it. You're still so young. She didn't do any of the, like, sugarcoating. She was like, it's average. And I was like, okay. She said, you know, if you don't plan on having kids in the next 2 years, and if you can, I would freeze your eggs. And I was like, great. So, again, it was in the back of my head. So I always told Nat, my sister, that, you know, end of 2020, inshallah, I'm going to go to London and freeze my eggs. And the reason I chose London was because it's just where I'm used to. You know, I lived there most of my life. And then lockdown happened and I became so connected to my body. I was really aware of everything that I was eating. I wasn't going out. There was no toxins. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking. I wasn't doing anything that, you know, we are tempted to do. And I was like, well, I guess this is the healthiest I've ever been in my life. So why not move up the date? Also, it gives me enough time to have downtime if need be. So that's kind of how I came to the decision and why I did it now.
So what was the process like? Were you, once you had done your AMH tests and you knew what your egg count was, did you have to do any more blood tests after that?
Yeah, so you do some blood tests to see. So my initial AMH was 2 years ago in 2018. Okay. And then when I had it was still like major lockdown when I called the clinic and asked them about the egg freezing. And so they set up a phone consultation with a doctor. And she told me, you'll need to come in on like the second day of your period and we will do some blood tests and we'll do a scan. So they did. They did some blood tests just to check if I was deficient in anything and everything was okay. And I just had like a small deficiency in vitamin D, which makes sense because we'd been stuck indoors for like 3 months. And then the scan showed my egg reserve. And she told me it was on the lower side of average at this point, 2 years later. So she did say, you know, this is the perfect time to do something like this. The younger, the better. It's not, you know, some far-fetched, like crazy idea. And I felt almost super normal and comfortable and confident about the decision. So it pushed me to want to do it even more. So I went into the clinic on the second day of my period, had the tests, and immediately they show you how to do the injections at home. So I did my first one with the nurse, and then she gives you like a little pack, and you take it home in this little bag, and you have like a list and you have to sign every time you take your injections. In total, I took 19.
Over the course of how many days?
10.
In different phases, right?
So it's all continuous.
Continuous, but there's like the medications change throughout?
Yeah, so, they're hormones. What you're given are hormones. And they changed. So I had three different types, some were overlapping. And the first one is pretty simple because it's in like a pen. So I've seen my dad inject himself with this because he's diabetic a million times. So it wasn't that intimidating. That one was easy to do. Although the first time it was really hard to, like, I'm not used to stabbing myself with a needle. So I was like,
where did you do it? So where would you stab yourself?
You're supposed to do it underneath your belly button in that area of your belly. And you just have like a little alcoholic wipe. You dab yourself with it, make sure the area is clean. Like you fill up your medication yourself with a syringe and then you inject yourself and that's it. And it's painful, yes, because it's an injection. So already like that's painful, but then the medication going in is what was more painful for me, like feeling it going in. And then for the first couple of times, after I would take it, I would just kind of like go and sit on the couch and put a blanket over me. And I had like, I was like a little bit in my own world, you know, even like friends, I speak to my friends every day. And when they'd call for like our daily catch up, I'm like, you know, I'm just not really in the mood to talk right now. Like I'm kind of absorbing this new sensation. But that was just the first two nights, I think. And then after that, it became very easy and so much more bearable.
So you took 19 injections over the course of 10 days.
Yes.
And so you were doing them how many times a day on average? Like two Twice. Times a day.
So it would be one in the morning, one in the evening. So the first couple of days, it was just one at night, and then it would overlap with two. And then, of course, the only reason I had that many was because I was doing checkups every 4 or 5 days. I would go back into the clinic and they'd do another scan. And if she wasn't happy with the egg count, she would up my dosage and increase my hormones. So in total, I had 3 scans.
Okay. At any point, are they looking at the egg quality or not yet? It's only egg number.
Only the number and the size. And then once you retrieve, they check and see if they're mature. They and I have to admit, there was a couple times when I was doing the scan, I didn't think it was working. I was like, how many more hormones do I have to take? Because my eggs were still either really small or not as many. And my left in particular, my left ovary was not carrying like barely any eggs. Like most of it was from my right. So I was getting a little bit concerned, but I'm not the type to go off on a tangent when I get concerned. I just think about it and then I let it go. So I didn't let it dwell, but it is like it's a crazy thing because you're like, okay, is my body going to work with me or against me, you know?
Yeah. But how crazy to like build this new relationship with your body where you're aware of which one of your ovaries functions better and how they react.
And I have to tell you, so it's so strange. I have very tight-knit people in my life, and some are women, some are men. My really good guy friends were the most supportive, like I couldn't believe it, and they're so sweet, you know, like pushing me to do this, telling me, you know, you're never gonna feel like you're not good enough, you're never gonna feel like time is running out, this is an incredible thing for you to do. They were so supportive. And when my belly started blowing up, and I'm the type that is always in a sports bra, always in crop tops, I'm always training, and I am very used to my body looking a certain way because of all the hard work I put in. And when it started getting big, I was just in love with it. Like, it was the craziest sensation. I was like, this is crazy because I'm physically seeing my body react to something I am doing to it. So it helped me connect my mind and body in a completely new way. Like, okay, I'm pumping it with hormones right now, and this is the reaction it's having. It made me think about how when I eat, my body's going to react a certain way. If I mistreat it, it's going to react a certain way. If I overpower it, it's going to get tired, you know? So it gave me a completely new perspective, and I love the experience for that.
Did you have any bruising from the injections?
Yes. Not visible, but I would feel it. So if I had something tight on, I would feel it. Or if I leaned up against the counter, like cooking or whatever, I could also feel it in that area. But it was nothing visible.
Did you experience any changes in terms of your emotions, your sleep patterns, your hunger levels or anything like that?
So emotionally, I was really worried about this, and I'm sure my sister can say the same. Like, she was not looking forward to seeing whether I would turn into a psycho or not, but I didn't. I was so happy. I don't think I can explain like how normal I felt. In fact, better than normal, because normally I'm an emotional wreck. But this was a very balanced, happy ream, and I don't know why, but it just was. And I'm very, very grateful that my experience was that. In fact, I think I had a part to play in that from the beginning, because there was one day where I did feel a little bit like I'm going to cry. And then I was getting stressed because I'm like, oh my God, like what is happening to my body? Like everything's getting so big. And then I realized like this is a time in my life where one day in the future, if I do use these eggs, you're going to remember where you were and how you felt and what you were doing. And I don't want to remember this time as like a dark, moody, you know, scared, frustrated time. I wanted it to be like an empowering, happy, controlled time. So I think from that point on, very early on, I was like, this is going to be amazing. And it helped me get through it.
So you've basically managed to reframe the situation and rephrase the narrative in your mind and remind yourself of what a beautiful experience and privilege this is. Mm-hmm. And how is the support of the people around you?
So when I first had my phone consultation, I was on my period and the doctor was like, you know, you should come in on your second day of period. So I was like, okay, let me go in next month. Mm-hmm. And that day, I think I called my parents and they were like in the car going for breakfast or something. And my mom had me on speaker and I'm like, Mama, guess what? Like, guess what I'm going to do next month? And she, it's so weird. She knew. She was like, you're freezing your eggs. I was like, how did you know that? Maybe she just watched it on the Kardashians or something, but she knew. And she was like, I knew it. I think it's an amazing idea. Like, wow, I'm so proud of you. And then my dad was like, and they were on video chat, so I could see them. My dad was clearly embarrassed because, you know, like it's about fertility and yeah. me having a baby maybe one day in the future. And he was just like, why, Baba? Like, I don't understand. Like, just get a boyfriend, get married. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Let me just call the like six guys on hold and make a decision to marry one of them as if it's that easy. But in the end, they were both incredibly supportive. All my girlfriends were really intrigued. Like, it's been a lot of questions, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of Q&A time with them, which is nice. And again, like my guy friends, super supportive. So everyone has just been very open to it and nice. And I decided before I even did it that it would be something I shared on my social. But of course, sharing something that intimate and that private is always a bit like scary, but the response was amazing. So yeah. I am blown away by it, to be honest.
I think it's something that's on a lot of women's minds, and I've spoken about it to multiple friends on separate occasions recently who are in their early to mid 30s and are starting to consider egg freezing. And actually a friend of mine, Neila, froze her eggs in Beirut not long ago, and she wrote an article about it for goodness. Nice. So I'll put it in the show notes. But she also had a similar experience to yours. She actually started the injections here and then flew to Beirut to get the extraction. Mm-hmm. And I think she was a little bit worried about the fact that in the UAE, you can't move your eggs with you to another country, right? And she, in the long run, I think has more of the US in mind for her and her husband's future plans. So she was worried about leaving the eggs back here. And she had a similar experience in the sense that she felt great, she felt empowered, she felt healthy, and she felt like really positive. And then all of a sudden in the last few days, she just could not stop crying. I mean, I guess everyone's experience is very different and the way that your body and your hormones react are very different. But she was telling me, and she wrote in the article, like she would watch Friends and just sob endlessly.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone is so different. But I think there was also this sense, and I don't know if, like, I'd love to speak to other women who did it, because there was this kind of love for this belly that you had and all of these, like, I don't know, you're just extra careful about everything you're doing when you're doing this, because you're treating your body so nicely. And I almost felt like, oh, it's weird that there's not going to be like a little baby after this, you know, like it's just, it feels like there was no end game, there was no goal. And I couldn't really discuss that with anyone. So I kept like a journal. Yeah. And was just writing about that. But even it's the first time I've said it out loud, I think. And because it feels crazy, like you're not pregnant, but you feel like your body is changing in this way that is contributing towards something.
Yeah.
But you're not, it's not tangible. You know, you can't hold it. You can't feel it.
Not for a long time.
Yeah. So it just made me so excited to, and it made me for the first time in my life, I think, actually crave the feeling of being pregnant. So I look forward to that. But I guess I can understand why she felt so emotional and crying over everything.
Yeah. And like you said, if it's helped you realize that you, if it's made you more aware of the fact that you want babies now, it's also given you the option to choose a life partner or like a father to your children in a much more, maybe, I don't want to say conscientious, not that you wouldn't have taken your time to choose before, but that sort of ticking clock is gone.
Yeah.
You know? the rush or the sense that you're fighting time is taken out of the equation now.
Yeah.
And so when you do pick a partner and when you do use those eggs, I think it would have been a very different experience.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like now, well, since my divorce, actually, I've always thought if I get married again, it was because the number one reason was this is someone I want to raise children with. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't get married again. I would just be in a relationship, I think. But if I was going to have children, for sure, you want a family structure and you want a lifelong commitment. But that kids and the way they would be with kids is always at the forefront for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's hard to find, you know, so it's still out there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in my case, my husband and I have been married for 3 years, but we're not at a point where we want children.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would like children later, but I'm 32 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would very much like to have the option to have kids in 5 years if that's when I decide to, or even later, you know? And it gives you that option, which is so beautiful in itself, to be able to give women that choice and that option to pursue other things in the meantime.
100%. But
it's definitely something on a lot of women's minds, which is why I think it's so great you're talking about it.
Well, that's what I realized, that I'm the kind of person who, if I feel like there's an option to do something, I want to be able to take that option. And that's why I also in my video mentioned that it's a privilege, because so many of my DMs were, how much does this cost? And I wish this was available in my country, and for whatever reason, it might not be where they are. And I can't imagine not being in a position where you can take control of something as important as this. And thankfully, I have the means to afford it. And I'm in a country that now recognizes the importance, even as a single woman, to be able to make this decision, which I don't think has always been the case here in the UAE. So it's a remarkable progression for the country to allow single women to do this. And I'm not really fussed about that I have to be married if I want to retrieve them and I have to do it in the UAE. I'll make it work, you know, like, of course, if I'm going to want to use them, I'd be married. And I'd just come, if I wasn't living in Dubai, I'd just come back. So that hasn't been a concern for me. Everyone was asking, but you can't leave, you can't transfer them and you have to be married if you want. I'm like, well, obviously I'm going to be married if I want to take them. That's my decision in a family format anyway. And I could just come back and do it here in the UAE.
Yeah.
But the point is that a lot of women, I'm sure, are like, that's a great idea. That gives me so much time, removes the pressure. But how many are actually going to go out and do it? It's something you're physically putting your body through, Yanni. It's a conscious decision. It's not like, God forbid, something happened and you ended up having to have a surgery or something. Like, you are volunteering to put your body through 10 days or 2 weeks of hormones. And
it's a hormonal shock at the end of the
day. Exactly.
Yeah.
So to walk in, that was one of the first realizations I had after I left the clinic. The first appointment, I called one of my friends and I was like, yeah, I just realized that I decided to do this. Like, no one's pushed me. And now I have like appointments and I have, you know, commitments to take this medication at a certain time and make sure I don't mess it up. And, you know, like, I was like, what have I done? It's a commitment.
Yeah.
So how many women are actually going to make the time to do something like this for themselves? And I hope the answer is many, because it is incredibly empowering if you do have the means to do it.
So let's go back to how your body reacted to this process. So the main thing that you noticed was that you had put on weight.
I wouldn't call it weight. I would call it water weight. So it was water retention. I'm pretty sure of it, because now, thankfully, it's like today is the first day and it's been a week and a bit. Today is the first day where I feel like it's going, it's flushing. So I wouldn't say like it was fat or anything like that. I think it was pure water retention.
And you could feel that.
I couldn't fit into any clothes, like legit.
Mm.
I went out for dinner three times, and I wore the same outfit three times because all I could fit into was cycling shorts and a big baggy t-shirt. Like, none of my jeans fit, and I'm the kind of girl that buys upper size because I like a baggy look. Nothing fit me.
Did your breasts get bigger?
Yes, majorly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are like something I'm very annoyed about right now.
Are they still really come big, down?
Yeah, everything is taking its time, but slowly but surely. I'm not putting pressure on myself. I'm taking it
That's
easy.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. The girl who wrote the article for Goodness that I was telling you about, she put on a lot of, I think, water weight as well, sort of bloating. And what happened is one of her breasts, and she wrote about this, one of her breasts grew to almost double the size of the other one.
Oh, my God.
And it didn't... It took maybe something like 6 months for her body to start going back to normal. And what she actually had to do and what really sort of kickstarted it for her was she did this supervised water fast with a woman who does like a 1 week very closely monitored, like medically supervised program. And it was only then that her body started to react to the things that she was doing.
Right.
So that's one of the things that honestly scares me a little bit. Like, I don't know what my body's gonna do.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm not gonna lie, when I first asked my friend who got her eggs frozen all those like 2 years ago, I was like, and what happened? She's like, well, I've never lost, you know, the weight. Like, I've always felt like it's still there. But and that was a big thing for me, and I never wanted to admit that because it's so aesthetically biased. Driven. Like, yeah. Who cares? Yeah. You know, but I mean, I still have to like feel good and look good. So
yeah.
For me, it is a big thing. But in my mind, I know that I'm being really healthy with my diet and my lifestyle and my training. So I have a very positive attitude about it, and I'm just doing everything else I can. So for example, I'm having a lot of water, eating a lot of like watermelon, having things that are just gonna naturally flush out water retention, and just giving it some time. I don't have like a deadline on this.
You're right, because in the grand scheme of it, what's a few kilos for the ability to, you know, take your time choosing a partner and having kids when you're ready and not, you know, racing against the clock?
100%. 100%.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So 10 days in, you went for another scan?
So I had my first scan, a second scan, she upped the dose, third scan. And when I saw my follicles on the screen, I was like, whoa, like, are those?
What does it look like?
They're just like eggs. They're just like round things. And they're all kind of grouped together. And she measures them. And she was like, this one's 16. This one's 18. This one's 20. I'm like, whoa, like, they're so big now. And I was like, oh, my God, like, what's happening in there? And she said, OK, we can book you in for Thursday. So I went home and she gave me instructions. The nurse gave me instructions and it was so funny. It was like I was in school. She was like, Reem, this is your trigger shot. Now you're done with the hormones, but tonight you take this at 9:30 p.m., okay? What time do you take this? And I'm like, 9:30 p.m. And she's like, don't be late. I'm like, okay. She's like, put an alarm on your phone. And I was like, what is this? And it's like the last shot. It's like a trigger shot, they call it. And you're supposed to take it 36 hours before your retrieval. And I was having dinner. I was out having dinner with some friends for the first time since lockdown. And it, like a new restaurant opening, I was supporting them. And I'm like, I'll take the injection with me to the restaurant. You know, I'll just do it there. It's fine. I prepped everything because you have to move it from one thing to another syringe. And then I get to the bathroom in the restaurant, my alarm goes off, and I realize I forgot the needle for the injection. So I run back out. I'm like, guys, I have to go. Like, I'm sorry, but I have to leave. I have to go take my injection. And I realized how committed I was then, you know, like, this is so important. I didn't go through 10 days of hormonal injections to miss my trigger shot and mess up my retrieval. Yeah. So I ran home and took the shot, and it was like an hour late, and I had to tell them, and my doctor was like, why were you late taking the thing? I was like, oh, not because I was out like having fun with my friends. It was so dramatic, but you do that. And then the retrieval thing is a completely different kettle of fish. Like, You go under anesthetic. So that for me is a scary thing because I've never had to do that before.
You go under sedation, right?
Yeah, but it isn't anesthesia.
Yeah,
thing
yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. And so you go in and they tell you to kind of like clear your day. You're not really supposed to do anything that day. So I went in the morning. My sister took me. You go in an hour early. And then by the time it's your appointment, you're taken into the room. Now, when you walk into this room, this is kind of when I freak out because I'm like, what's happening? You know, I'm going to be asleep. Like, I have no idea. I don't like this room. It's very clinical. Everything's like a hospital. Like, I'm not into things like that. But you walk in. And then, of course, my dad makes a joke the day before. And he's like, Miss Baba, what if they mix up your eggs with someone else's eggs? I'm like, Dad, that's like my number one fear that I've been keeping internal. Like, why are you projecting that? And that was a legit fear. I was like, what if they do? But of course, that's ridiculous. They're not going to do that. But to make matters so much better for me, as soon as you walk into the room, the clinic, the, I don't know what you call it, because it's not surgery, but the retrieval room, let's call it, you have to immediately go to this little window and identify yourself. And this lady is like, name, date of birth, blah, 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 phone number, whatever. And she's like, this is you, this is what's happening. So I'm like, okay, great. Like, there is someone there that is like ready to take my little eggs and put them in, under my name in the freezer. So I felt yeah. super at ease. And then there's like a chair bed thing that you sit on. Should I describe it?
Yeah, go.
Because I don't want to put anyone off, but this is the reality of it. Okay, this was for me the hardest part is walking into that room and actually doing the retrieval. You lay down and you put your legs on the stirrups. Mm-hmm. Which for me are like the most awkward thing in the world anyways. And then they strap your legs in, which...
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. So I was like, okay, Reem, don't focus on anything that's making you uncomfortable. Breathe. And I do, I'm sure you know this, Wim Hof, the breathing technique. Yep. Yeah, I do that every day. So I was like, okay, let's do a breath work. So I was just like taking my deep breaths and trying not to focus on anything around me. Because also everyone's just doing their job. And for them, this is like maybe the first of 10 today. So they're just like mm-hmm. doing it like robots, you know? And whereas I'm like, hello, this is my first time. I'm so scared. So you lay down, you put your legs in the thing, they strap your thing. And then the anesthesiologist is giving mm-hmm. you the anesthesia. I was just focusing on my breath, trying not to focus on anything around me. And then before I knew it, I was asleep. And then next thing I knew, I woke up, it had been not even an hour, and I felt perfectly fine. And they told me, you might be drowsy, you might have to stay here for 4 hours, blah, blah, blah. So I told my sister to leave. And by the time I was done, I was like, hey, babe, can you come get me? Like, I feel good. And then she came and got, and they were like, are you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine. They gave me some brown bread and jam, and I ate that, had some water. And then I was in spinnies getting my weekly shopping and cooking when I got home. It was fine.
They extract the eggs with a needle?
Yes.
Does the needle go up your vagina? Is that how they extract it?
Yes.
Okay. It's not through the skin?
No.
No.
It's through your vagina or vulva or whatever it's called.
Through the vulva to the vagina.
Yes.
Through the cervix and up.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how they get the eggs. And then you're supposed to get a phone call the next day to find out how it went. And I got one not even an hour later. And she said we extracted 10 and 9 were mature and 9 were frozen. So I think that's a good number. I think you're supposed to roughly have around 15, depending on how many kids you want to have. So you could do this process again, but I'm not in a rush to do it again right now.
Is this the best thing you've ever gifted yourself?
I think so. It was a present to myself. Like, it cost money. I put myself yeah. through the work for it. And okay, here's another thing. I did at one point feel, I think I told my best friend the other day, I didn't tell anyone else though. I said, when I started doing it, I was like, but do I really need to do this? Like, I'm pretty sure that I'm, you know, gonna be fine and I won't have any issues like getting pregnant. and I'll probably meet the man of my dreams and he'll be perfect and we'll have a great family. And then I did it anyway. But in the back of my head, I was like, this is just a full-on precaution. This is not because I feel like it's my last resort. And that's what I don't want women to feel like. I don't want women to feel like this is my last resort. I must be so desperate. I must be so scared. It has nothing to do with that. This is, in spite of all those things, I am still, it's like getting health insurance. Like, I'm a healthy person, but I spend a fortune on health insurance. And I argue with my sister all the time. I'm like, I don't want to get it again. She's like, we have to get it. I'm like, but I spent so much money last year and I didn't even use it. And she was like, it's a thing we have to do. So it's, for me, a thing we have to do. Like, just get it. It's insurance.
Yeah. My friend actually calls this your Joker card. You know, your, it's like your, I guess, yeah, you would call it in English a Joker card as well. It's like the card that you can pull out if need be in a situation. It's not necessarily that you need it, as you said. You know, you're young, you're healthy, you have options, you have time, etc. But it's there as an insurance card, as like a joker.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, I think men respect you when you do something like this. I mean, I don't want to be like presumptuous, but I'm pretty sure it's changed the way I am in some of my male counterparts' eyes. Like, they no longer think that they are, you know, the last, the holy grail. They're not. Like, But also, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he was like, I like how when you were talking about it, it wasn't a men are non-essential conversation. And that is 100% true. Men are just as equal as I am in this format. However, luckily for them, they don't really need to worry about it. And unfortunately for us, it adds a lot of pressure from them, from our parents, from our society. And this kind of just gives that ease to everyone. It's, you're already, you know, in my case anyway, like, I already run my own business. I'm financially independent. I don't need a man. I want a man. And of course I need a man for children, but I also want to want him just as much as I need him.
Yeah.
So when they know that, then you're going in with it, both of you, for the right reasons.
Yeah. It's like a different playing field a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome, Reem. Well, is there anything else you would like to leave our listeners with, if anyone's considering this? Any advice that you might have not shared?
I think prepare your body, maybe for a couple, maybe for like a month, like try and be really good and, you know, treat your body with a lot of love and look after it. Treat it like a temple and book yourself in. And go in with no pressure. Oh, so actually something interesting is Natalia wanted to do this too, my sister. And she's 2 years younger than me. She's 30. And we noticed that she was getting a lot of anxiety during the time I was doing it. So for example, when I was taking the injection, she could see I was being really brave. But I'd see her like, oh, like freaking out. And I'm like, babe, like what's going on? She's like, it's just, I don't want to do it. I'm like, I hate it. I'm doing it right now. And can we not focus on whether you're going to do it? Like, you're making me freak out. And she was like, I don't know. It's scary. I'm like, it's not scary. It's totally fine. But, you know, and I'd say that a few times. And then I'd realize maybe she's putting a lot of pressure on herself to do this because, again, she's been really healthy. It's the perfect time, blah, blah, blah. And then we had a discussion about it. And she admitted to me, I don't think I'm ready to do it. And I said to her, if you're not mentally and emotionally prepared for something like this, it won't be a nice experience. I can guarantee you that. So I would recommend you don't do it until one day you come to the decision yourself. And that's kind of what happened with me. No one reminded me of this. This has been on my mind for months and over a year, 2 years, let's say. And one day I woke up and she came in the room and I was already on the phone to the doctor. So I didn't even include anyone in my decision-making. I knew I wanted to do this, and that's why I think I've had such a beautiful experience. And I wouldn't want anyone to feel like they've heard my story, or they're so scared and they're doing this out of fear. They need to do this out of love for their body and really embrace every single change. Don't judge it and just accept it. So do it when you're 100% ready and when you can love yourself and be grateful to yourself for giving yourself this gift.
Awesome. Thanks, Reem. Thanks so much for being so open about this.
You're so welcome. I know that
it's going to help so many women.
I hope so.
Bye, Reem.
Bye.
Thanks for listening today. If you're not familiar with Goodness, head to www.goodness.me to access the online platform and articles, and follow us at Goodness on Instagram. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and share it, and we'll see you next week.